Okay, so welcome everybody. So this is the first edition for the BSWA Bodhinyana Monastery morning meditation and Dharma talk. So what I will do is, with the format, we'll go for say a maximum of 30 minutes, and we'll start with a say like a relevant Dharma talk in relation with the you know, just with the social conditions we're going through with, you know, coronavirus, worldly events, you know, anything which is virtually important, crucial to people's lives and their ability to cope, and just the general feel, you know, within the local community, what people are experiencing, what they're going through. So, as you're all aware that there's quite a lot of say economic pressure and social restrictions on people with the coronavirus, which is active at the moment, and naturally people, you know, they're feeling a degree of say pressure, and you know, life is getting, you know, quite difficult, quite demanding in many different areas. So you know, people's stress levels are going to increase, and there's going to be more pressure on their say, you know, coping mechanisms, you know, supporting family and friends. And with the, you know, with the say the human experience, you know, so if, you know, so for example, within the Buddhist within the Buddhist understanding, that the human experience is a mix of both say happiness and suffering. So the vast majority of us are, you know, we tend to orientate towards joy, towards happiness, towards positive experiences, but you can't have that without the downside of the human condition. But, you know, as Buddhist practitioners, we, you know, it's far more beneficial to focus on the positive, to focus on that which is beneficial, rewarding, which is good for oneself and good for the general community. So, you know, when we look at the, you know, naturally the COVID-19 situation is very, very serious, both on a national and an international level. And but the thing is, when we look at our overall experience, that even though the overall conditions within society with the corona pandemic, you know, are really quite serious in many different areas, that, you know, we do have a lot of good things that we can actually reflect on, you know, because as the vast majority of you know, that the monk's life orientates towards, you know, simplicity, you know, one, say like a small breakfast cup, one main meal a day, a small kuti in the forest, you know, basic medicines to maintain health, and, you know, clothing and robes, basic robes to cover the body. So you have the four main requisites for the monk's life to live a, say, the Buddhist religious life as a monastic. And so, you know, when you look at people in general society, naturally the vast majority of you have a lot more than that. And, you know, when we look at, say, the underprivileged and the disadvantaged that we see in many parts of the world, you know, we do have a lot to be grateful and a lot to be thankful for, even though, you know, people are under, you know, severe pressure at the moment with the coronavirus. And you know, so just that principle, having a warm place to sleep, you know, a roof over one's head, you know, say one solid meal a day, and you know, just things like, you know, basic medicines and clothing to cover your body. But, you know, the vast majority of the population, especially within Western industrialized countries, have a lot more than that. They have their television and their radio and their internet and their comfortable furnishings and you know, big plush beds and hot showers, and, you know, all the modern supports and conveniences that we see, especially in Western industrialized societies. So, you know, we have a lot more. You know, the monastics have less, but the general population have a lot more than, say, like incredibly poverty-stricken, you know, villages that you find in parts of Central America, in the African states. Maybe in parts of the Middle East, where these people are just dirt poor. They're lucky if they can even get enough, you know, food to eat on a daily basis. So, you know, when it comes to the supports of life, that even though, you know, there's a lot of say, pressure on in general society with the corona pandemic, that, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have all our material supports. You know, the vast majority of the population are in good health. You know, many of us have quite decent family and friends. You know, we're not, you know, we're not starving, hungry. We're not living on the streets. You know, our general health is satisfactory, and we do have a lot to be you know, thankful for. You know, especially in modern, say, westernized countries, because one thing that we do see, especially in Western society, we may be overly spoilt, you know, overly privileged. And as when I did a previous trip with Palani, that to India, you know, you've got whole families, you know, sleeping out on cardboard in railway stations, and you know, barely able to feed their bellies on a daily basis. And you know, we just have so much more than these poor villagers. And so within the Buddhist perspective, you know, with the, you know, both with the mind and body development, that we, you know, we really have to focus on that which is good and that which is wholesome and the beneficial things that we have in our lives, because you know, it's a bit, I wouldn't say like contrary, it's actually a disadvantage to focus on that which is really bad, which is really negative, you know, sort of like gloom and doom. You know, you don't want a situation where you basically focus on the negative, and you actually, you know, say, weaken the natural energy in the mind. Because my perspective is, if you're quite, you know, if you're grateful, if you're quite positive, you know, you rejoice in what you actually have in life, that will give, you know, will keep the mind strong, positive, energetic, and it will help protect you to a degree. Because you know, the Buddha said that the mind in itself is the forerunner of all states. But you know, naturally, the COVID-19 virus, you know, is that which, you know, essentially attacks the physical body. But if the mind is very strong and one's karma is quite wholesome, you can, you know, there are energies and forces that we can't actually see with the human eye, which can give us a degree of protection. This is something that you see in the Buddhist sutras, where if one is a generous person, you know, one is, has a degree of kindness, compassion, keeps the five precepts to the best of one's ability, is able to develop one's meditation or even do chanting on a daily basis to increase the power and the focus of the mind, that, you know, this kind of mind and body development has almost like a force field kind of effect. It's not necessarily something that the average person can see with the human eye, but I've seen this multiple times with practitioners, with enlightened teachers in Thailand, that, you know, Dharma has a protective element to it. And it's not, you know, it's something that we, you know, should feel a degree of confidence in. And it's something I've seen put to the test many, many times. And so in essence, you know, we've got a lot of good things that we can, you know, reflect on, that we can be grateful for, you know, that, you know, just to have, you know, good health and the basics of life is something, you know, which is really something to be reflected on. You know, as you know, that, you know, we just get so spoilt and overindulged in Western society, that we're not necessarily encouraged to look at the good things that we see within ourselves, within our personality, the good things that we do for others, that we do for general society, and you know, just the comfortable life that we have compared to, you know, the poorest of the poor that you see in other parts of the world. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, even for the most average non-religious, non-spiritual person, there's still, you know, many, many good things in their lives that they can reflect on and feel good about. So what I'll do now is I'll do, say, like a 15-minute meditation, and what I'll do is I'll start with an emotionally based meditation, focusing on the feeling, say the sensation, the feeling in the hands. And the reason why I recommend this is it helps to alleviate and diffuse very, very strong emotions, things like stress and anxiety. It helps to move things up into conscious awareness and help to release the underlying tension, the underlying, say, like emotional energy, which can build up with people. You know, people may be very, very worried and concerned at present, and it helps to, you know, both emotionally and physically relax them. So we'll do like a half and half. We'll do the feeling-based meditation for, say, just over 7 minutes, and then we'll do the breathing meditation focused on the feelings around the mouth, which is a fairly clear, sharp area of the body where you can still sense the breathing meditation quite clearly. So with the beginner's instructions, if you just sit with your back straight and your head upright and comfortable, make sure there's nothing really tight around the throat, around the wrist, around the waist. And what we'll start in essence is, and also cross the legs if possible, and place one hand upon the other, one palm upon the other, and just gently focus on that feeling, that sensation. It helps to bring up, you know, to and release any kind of underlying tension and emotional energy which can sort of build up when we're under say stress, under demanding situations. And we'll just do that in a very, very relaxed way for the next 7 minutes. So as you focus on the feelings in the hands, just try to stay as emotionally and physically relaxed as possible. As you maintain a comfortable, balanced sitting posture, just try to breathe slowly and deeply to maximize your level of alertness. So with this this feeling-based meditation, if you find a strong emotion which has come up in the mind, just take one feeling at a time and then just try to understand exactly where that feeling comes from. You know, the reasons why, with what particular person, what time and place. Because the more you understand the feelings that you go through, the easier it is for the mind to relax and let go of these strong emotions, which may not be necessarily, say, conducive or good for you. So now that we've grounded ourselves in the physical body with this say feeling-based meditation, we will switch over to the breathing meditation, and we will focus on the sensations around the mouth. And the reason I do this is it's a fairly clear, sharp area with a strong sensation. It's something you can follow very, very easily, even with people who don't have sharp attention or mindfulness. It's something that you can focus on without difficulty. And as you focus on that sensation, that feeling around the mouth section, you can feel the breathing, the cycle of breathing on the periphery, which makes it much easier for you to track as the breathing cycle moves in and out of the body. So just maintain your posture, a relaxed posture and attitude, and now focus on that area of the body, and be aware of the sensation of breathing on the periphery of that area of focus for the rest of the session. So as you continue with the breathing meditation, try to breathe deeply and slowly into the base of the abdomen, and maximize the energy, the alertness of both the physical body and the mind and brain. So we're coming towards the end of the session. So just see if you can see a change in the quality, the peacefulness of the mind. And I'd like to thank you all joining in this morning, and please have a lovely day. Thank you.